Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Amen. Hebrews chapter number 1, quickly by way of review, because I want to spend the rest of the day in Hebrews 1:3. But we call the book of Hebrews the better book. Not just any better than any other book, because we know all 66 books are inspired of God. But the reason I call it the better book is because the word better is used many times. That we looked at this a couple weeks ago, that Jesus is better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than the prophets. He's better than all these things that we're going to see reading the next couple of months in the book of Hebrews. That's why I like to call it the better book. Not because, again, it's not that it's any better, but the word better is used many, many times in Scripture. When we begin reading God, and I did, just remember, this is the only book that begins this way. Of the 66 inspired books of Scripture, Hebrews is the only book that starts out by the word God. Now we know in Genesis, in the beginning, God created. In book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We understand all that. But it's interesting to know that Paul is writing to these Hebrew believers, and he starts out with God, because they already know that he has no reason to prove the existence of God. It's already settled in these Hebrew Christians' mind, because this same God was the one who delivered them through the Red Sea. They crossed the Jordan River. This same God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew God. And so he starts out to remind them why. Because, again, a lot of these Jewish believers were going back to temple worship. And we'll find this out later in Scripture. Because of persecution, that's why in Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 1, he says, "Now let us go on. Others have fallen back." And we get to the part where they've tasted the heavenly things and they were once enlightened and all this, and they've gone back and they're sacrificing him afresh and all. He's talking about them believers. He's not talking about unbelievers. He's talking about them believers who went back to temple worship, and now they're bringing them little lambs once again to sacrifice. Now, they did not lose their salvation, but yet because of persecution and other things, they went back to Judaism. And there was others who Paul wanted to admonish, you stay with the stuff. That's why when you get into Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25, "Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves, as the manner of some is, so much the more as you see that day approaching." So that's the background of Hebrews. He's writing these Hebrew believers. They're struggling with persecution and other things. And he's telling them, listen, there's so much better. Jesus is so much better than what was there in the temple and things that are going on over here. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets." We looked at this a couple weeks ago. He spake unto the fathers. These are talking about the Old Testament folk, by the prophets. Now, God doesn't speak to us through the prophets. He speaks to us through his word, through Jesus Christ. And we'll look at that in coming weeks. Verse number 2, "hath in these last days." Now let me stop for 30 seconds here. It's important to notice that term, last days. We've been in the last days, which means the coming of Christ, since Paul wrote this letter some almost 2,000 years ago. Paul was looking for the coming of Christ. We are still living in the last days. Amen. I just want you to note that Paul, even in his mentality, was looking for the coming of Christ. When he says, "hath in these last days," that's that word, last days. We get the word eschatology from that word, the study of the doctrine of last things. Anyway, "spoken to us now by his Son." Instead of the prophets, now he speaks to us through his Son, "whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." Verse number 3, "who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the throne of God on high." I told you last time I was with you, this in chapter number 2 and 3, verse number 2 and 3, we see a sevenfold description of God's Son. And we went in verse number 2 about the sevenfold description. We see the first one talks about in verse number 2, whom he appointed heir, H-E-I-R, of all things. Why is that so important? When we talk about the heir of all things, and we discuss this just quickly by way of review, he became heir through the human side, through the incarnation. We'll find out he created all things. He owns it all. It all belongs to him. But he's also the heir of all things. It talks about when the first man, Adam, if you remember, he was given dominion over the seas and all the animals. Remember the land animals? He gave him dominion over the whole earth. Which, boy, I could talk about that for a while. When we studied the book of Genesis, we talked about Adam being able to, he called all the animals by name. Remember, this is before sin had entered into the garden, and all the animals had come to Adam, and they think of the first man. A lot of people think of some kind of caveman dragging a club, you know, and bones in his nose, you know, kind of a hooba hooba. No, Adam was the most intelligent man that ever lived, even more than Solomon. Okay, because he was created in his innocence, and God created him. So he called animals here. What is this? Well, it's not in whatever language he spoke. He said, well, this is a monkey. This is a lion. This is whatever it is. You know, very intelligent. Well, he had dominion over all these. But when sin came, he lost dominion. Okay. Well, Jesus Christ, through his incarnation, he became the heir because he conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, through his human side, by the way, Jesus Christ was not half man, half God. Jesus Christ was fully man and fully God. And that's why we see Jesus as the creator. We're going to see that next part there. But he also is the heir. It all not only belongs to him, but he got it by right. Adam forfeited it. There's a fellow years ago, what's his name? He wrote that Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. Who was that? Who wrote that? Paradise Lost. Anyway, Jesus Christ became heir because of he was given the right and the authority because of what he did here on his human side. And then the second description, by whom he made the worlds, in verse number 2. He was appointed heir of all things. That's through his human side, the humanity. By whom also he made the worlds. This is his divine side. He's the creator of all things. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We know the triunity of the Godhead. Again, you've learned this when we were in the book of Genesis. It speaks of the Elohim. That's why when God said, let us make man in our image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we are in the image and the likeness of God. We are composed of three parts, okay? We are called a trichotomous being. There's spirit, soul, and body. Again, we won't get into that this morning. Y'all are Bible students. You've been here long enough. You understand that completely. Amen? One or two of you said amen. But we do. Matter of fact, just know that when we are saved, just so you know, I know this goes out over the radio, over the internet and all. What is saved is your spirit. You must be born again. That's the spirit of God. We use the term often, we're going soul winning. I understand that. But literally at the point of birth, it's not your soul that is saved. It's your spirit that is birthed again, that is born again. It's your soul that has to be shaped. Okay, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And it's your soul, your mind, that day by day is being more conformed. Are y'all following?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want you to misuse that term when they say soul. I don't know what they're talking about. But biblically, it's the spirit that is born again. It's your soul that is being made into the likeness, a day-by-day process. And it's the flesh, is that third part of the trichotomous being, that it won't be saved until glorification.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.